Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The defendants is going to have you believe that two carjackers turned from carjackers to child abductors in a 6-block ride and decided they didn't want the car but took the baby.
Hello. And welcome back to 1 Minute Remaining. My name is Jack Lawrence, the host and creator of this show. Today is part 4 of the story of DeAndre Lane. Arrested, tried, and convicted for the murder of his daughter, Bianca Jones, in 2012. It's a crime he not only maintains he's innocent of, but little Bianca has also never been found. As an extra reminder, there will be discussions in this episode about the state's theory in this case. These are discussions that some may find upsetting. Listener discretion is advised. In our previous episode, police believed they finally had enough evidence against DeAndre in which to formally charge him with the murder of his daughter. And of course, it would make national headlines.
Now accused of killing his own little girl, DeAndre Lane appeared in court by video, arraigned on new charges. The prosecuting attorney told the court there is boxes of evidence that prove the 32-year-old dad is guilty of the crimes.
Can't wait to see it. Love to go through it. I'd love to see how they've built this case.
2-year-old Bianca Jones has been missing since early December. Search teams had been looking for her for days back then. Lane's oldest child, DeAndre Lane Jr., tearfully left court this afternoon.
Everybody got negative opinions, you know what I'm saying, about my dad, man. Like I said, they don't know him like I do. Ain't nobody tell me nothing about my father. He's not going to harm none of his children, especially over discipline, you know what I'm saying. He disciplined all of us in the right way.
Lane's bond has been set at $3 million cash surety.
Due to the sheer publicity surrounding this case, DeAndre's attorney would say that he would be requesting that DeAndre is placed in protective custody for his own safety. However, DeAndre says that this has never been needed and he has never faced any issues while incarcerated.
We've already spoke very basically when we first, our first call about, you know, your incarceration and this particular crime and how it's looked at with inside facilities, and you've said you've never had any issues inside the facility. Because obviously this trial was highly publicised. It was a big thing for the area. Were the other people you were in, because obviously you're in jail while this is all going on, and I'm assuming, you know, everybody with inside the facility that you were incarcerated in during this trial were seeing you on the news. Did that ever cause you any issues at all?
No. Most of the time when people saw me in the county jail, I got encouragement. Bro, keep your head up. It's going to be all right. Bro, you ain't do that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be cool. Then you straight. Like, nobody was ever, it was never like, oh, you need to put me in the cell by myself, or you need to put me on the rock by myself, or you need to keep me away from all the other, you know what I'm saying, inmates that's in here, nothing like that. It was never like that. No kind of situation. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And then there was an instance where, I'm going to tell you, this is one time, there was a guy, he was talking a lot of stuff. He's like, oh, that's the dude that killed his daughter and this, that, and other thing. And there was other people on the rock that was like, man, you don't know what's going on with that, man. Like, you ain't even, you on some nonsense. And he was, oh, man, I should come out there and kick your butt and this, that, and other thing, and da-da-da-da-da. And they wound up breaking the door of the cell that he was in. They wound up breaking the little corridor that had us blocked off. And I was like, what you waiting on? And the guy wound up, he wound up turning around and walking the other way. But then later on, he wound up being in the bullpen with me when we were going to trial. I was still going through my trial. And the dude apologized to me. He was like, man, I've been watching. I've been keeping up with your stuff, man. Like, this is messed up, bro. This is messed up, man. They doing you wrong. They doing you wrong. And even when I came to prison, it was more so along the same thing. Like, people were asking me, if you need any help, like, let me know. If you need any legal advice, you know, if you need something, let me know. Here go a lawyer number. You should call this lawyer. Like, I didn't get that whole vitriol and venom like people usually get when they come in on a charge having to do with, you know, saying a child, or having to do with, you know, saying the murdering of, like, somebody that you would deem innocent or something like that. Like, I didn't get none of that, because a layman person can look at what's going on and see, like, this is not right. This is not right.
So we know what DeAndre says happened that day, but what were detectives saying happened? The state would say that the night prior to Bianca going missing, she would have an accident while potty training. They say that DeAndre was obsessed with potty training, and that should Bianca have an accident, he would punish her by spanking her. The night prior to her going missing, she would have an accident, and police say that DeAndre, frustrated and angry, would again punish his daughter. However, this time the punishment went too far. DeAndre was known to use what is referred to in this case as a paddle when disciplining his children. Now, this paddle was in fact a wooden spoon. However, at the spoon end, padding had been taped around it. DeAndre says this was used to, as he puts it, pop the kids on the butt or on the hand on occasions if they did something wrong. However, detectives would say that DeAndre used this item more aggressively than just popping the kids on the butt, and instead, he beat Bianca with this item. And on this occasion, she was beaten to death.
He took this stick and he beat that baby. And then he beat that baby till she was lifeless and bleeding, and he wasn't man enough to face what he did. He took her, he hit her, he got rid of her, and he threw her away like trash instead of manning up and admitting what he did to that child.
The following morning, DeAndre is set to take his nephew and his daughter to school before he goes to Bianca's mother's home to pick her up some clothing. Police say that in the morning he would dress the now lifeless toddler and prop her up on the sofa downstairs as if she was still alive, and all was fine. Witnesses, including DeAndre's other young daughter, would say that baby Bianca was covered with a blanket as he took her to the car seat outside in the vehicle.
Was BB moving or kicking or squirming around in that car seat when Dad put it in the car?
No.
On the stand, DeAndre Lane's 8-year-old daughter testifying that she did not hear 2-year-old Bianca cry or even see her move when Lane put the toddler in the back seat with her on the morning of December 2nd.
How come you couldn't see her face?
It was a cover over her face.
And who put the cover over her face?
My dad.
DeAndre says this is true, and that is because it was wintertime in Michigan, and he was protecting her from the cold.
If you know me, you know when it comes to children, I don't play when it comes to children. I don't care if they're my children, your children, anything. I don't play when it comes to any children. But especially when it comes to my children, like, all these narratives is trying to be placed out here. You know, a lot of it is based upon the stigmas and stereotypes of, you know, say, men in the black community. Like I said, how can you say that I'm a deadbeat if I got 3 of my children staying with me at the time that this happened? It's certain things that's going on, and it's like these narratives that's pushed, and I don't understand. Like in reading some of the stuff, like seeing the prosecution talk about, oh, he covered her body with a blanket and to try to hide what he did. And I'm like, it's the middle of the winter. If I didn't cover her with a blanket, then you'd be saying, oh, I had no care and concern for her well-being. Who doesn't cover their child's head in the middle of the winter, you know what I'm saying, to make sure you're shielding them from the cold? It's so much that's said in order to push their narratives that are in line with stereotypes and misconceptions about black men in the black community. It's trying to make it seem like I'm wrong for doing what I'm supposed to do.
They then say that once he has dropped off his daughter and nephew, they believe he made his way to an incinerator plant where he would dispose of Bianca's body. He would then fake the carjacking in order to cover up what had happened. Of course, this is a lot to take in and a lot to cover. So firstly, I wanted to start off discussing this paddle with DeAndre. So let's talk about this paddle. Right. So this paddle was a wooden spoon, right, with some sponge taped to it?
It was actually a loofah, like a loofah that you use when you take a shower or bath or whatever.
Yep.
That you put the soap on. It was a loofah that had a sponge on it. And what I did is I taped around the sponge, you know what I'm saying, and I would use it as a redirection tool. Either, you know what I'm saying, I would bring it out and I would point it. I never whooping my children is something that I didn't do all the time. It wasn't like I was just going around spanking people. Like I say, I use verbal redirection. I use timeouts. I use positive, negative reinforcement. And sometimes I would spank, you know what I'm saying? And this was what it was. It was a pad taped with a stick. It had a wooden stick. They had a pad. I mean, yeah, the pad was attached to the wooden stick, and I taped around the pad.
Why are we wrapping tape around this paddle and using that? Why not, you know, why wouldn't you just take the loofah with the sponge on it if that's what you want to do? Why the tape around it? Again, the prosecution made out that you had created this implement to use as a disciplinary tool, and with that comes intent.
And I would say if this thing has a sponge on it and I'm spanking them, with the sponge on it, then that shows intent not to try to harm anybody because there's actually padding on it.
Yeah, but why the tape?
I would think it would be totally different if I would have took the sponge off and just used the stick. Then that, to me, would be something that's like, hey, you thinking this can cause harm. The sponge was like one of those, if you ever see like one of those loofahs that has like the big sponge, the wide sponge on it, and I'm taping it down there to condense it, you know what I'm saying? So it's like I'm not striving to hurt anybody with this. I'm keeping the pad on there to ensure that it doesn't hurt anybody. And then if I pop them, I'm popping them on their butt or their hand. And this is what I said. They're saying I beat somebody bloody with this thing. And as it pertains to this thing, though, like I said, if you're talking about intent, nobody asked me about the pad. You know what I'm saying? And then, like I say, without my lawyer, when my lawyer telling me he didn't want me to take the stand, you know, I wasn't able to talk about this myself. But if your intent, if you're saying I'm doing something knowing that my intent can cause harm. If I'm saying no, the pad is on there so it doesn't cause harm, then how are you then reversing or, you know, saying corrupting my intent? Secondly, when the prosecutor is doing this, she's raising this mug and she's hitting the table with all her might with this dang old thing, hitting on the table talking about, and he beat her bloody and this, that, and the other thing.
He took this stick and he beat that baby. And then he beat that baby till she was lifeless and bleeding and he wasn't man enough to face what he did.
But where is the blood? There's no blood on this paddle. None whatsoever. They took it to the forensic lab and did all the testing on it. No blood.
Now, I would like to point out what DeAndre's saying here is in fact true. This paddling stick, or whatever you want to call it, was sent to the lab for testing to see if it could find any traces of blood, and it came back negative.
Yeah, you're dealing with this stuff. They're doing this stuff, trying to sensationalize and put this story in it together to try to gain favor from the people that are listening and trying to put on this show, but none of it is based in fact. It's all part of the story that they're trying to cultivate, which is not based in the evidence of what's being shown. But a person has to be able to see and differentiate between what's fact and what's the prosecution putting on the show and telling the story. And the facts of the matter is there was a pad there, a pad that, like I said, is intended for this not to inflict any kind of harm. They're saying, oh, that shows intent. Then you have, like I said, once again, the prosecutor said, beat somebody bloody. Where's the blood?
So the prosecution have their theory, but what evidence do they have to back it up? One of the most damning witnesses that prosecution would call upon was his girlfriend at the time of this incident. She would get on the stand against DeAndre and say that the night before the supposed carjacking, Bianca would wet the bed, and that DeAndre would discipline her for it. She would hear DeAndre strike Bianca a number of times. She then heard her crying. But eventually, Bianca went silent, and she says she never heard her again. DeAndre's girlfriend's testimony made news headlines at the preliminary hearing.
Do you remember how many times that you heard that paddle hit the Bianca's bare skin?
Three or four times. The girlfriend says Lane was disciplining the toddler for having wet the bed, but that his actions were stronger and more forceful than ever before. She went on to say Bianca sounded like she was in pain and had never heard a sound like that before. After a while, the toddler stopped crying, and the girlfriend hesitantly admitted in court she never heard from her again the next morning.
And again, during the actual trial itself.
I heard toilet flushing, and I heard like a couple of taps.
But prosecutors press Anjali to tell the jury what she had told investigators months ago, that those taps were more like smacks on bare skin.
Question at line A, was there anything different about the crying you heard that morning? Answer, yeah, she was more, it was painfully crying, like she was really intensely in pain. Those are the questions and answers you gave on December 8th of 2011, correct, ma'am?
Yes.
From the bench, Judge Vonda Evans asked Anjali why she didn't go see what was happening when she heard Bianca crying.
I don't involve myself in the disciplinary action
between
especially Bianca or Landra.
And prosecutors pointed out Lane had a routine if Bianca ever wet herself.
If they potted on themselves, they would get timeout.
I'm asking about Bianca.
She would get a timeout. She would get asked questions.
And testimony resumes next week.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Here it is, you have somebody that you were striving to build a life with, somebody that you loved, and they said that they loved you. And it was so many times that she was like, she even came to visit me in the county, and she was in the county, when she visited me in the county jail, she was talking about, she was like, Dre, I'm going to tell the truth. I'm not going to let them do this to you. I know I was wrong. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm so sorry. And it was just like, if you watch the trial and you listen to what she was saying, it's like she was trying to express the truth, but it's like then they kept jumping on her and she just would go like into a shell. Like you could, if you look at her, you could just see how like she was like fearful. Like when the prosecution would yell or the judge would say something, she would just like tense up. Like okay, you know, and it's like it was sad, you know what I'm saying? But it still doesn't take. Like I feel bad for her because I know she was a victim in all of this too, because the prosecution like basically used her as a tool for their devices. But at the same time, it, like, hurt because this was somebody who I loved and I cared about, you know, and they were basically just, like, throwing me away.
Have you spoken to her since?
We have spoken, but it's like, sparingly, you know. Like, we talked for a little while after everything happened. And then, like, you know, but the last time I talked to her maybe was, like, 4 or 5 years ago.
Anjali, DeAndre's former partner, would appear on an episode of Crime Watch Daily where she would recant. her statement.
Well, just to be 100% clear, did you lie under oath?
I didn't tell the full truth.
And what is the full truth?
The full truth is that Bianca was answering questions after her spanking.
You didn't mention this to investigators, even though you were under oath, and why was that?
Because I was terrified of going to jail. That was just the reigning thought in my head. I'm going to go to jail, I'm going to go to jail, I'm going to go to jail.
When you first spoke to her after the trial and everything like that, how was that conversation?
I wasn't really mad with her per se, because I was more concerned on, like, okay, it's still, like, it's not over with, you know what I'm saying? It's not over. I told her, I was like, I understand that they, because when she told me initially what happened, like, you know, since she was, like, they threatened her, and they said that they would take, you know what I'm saying, our daughter from her, and they would, you know, paint her as an accessory, like, you're going to go to jail with him if you don't say, you know what I'm saying? So I felt for her. In a way, because I'm just like, you know, I know how she was, and she's not, like I said, not a very strong-willed person like that, to where she can endure that type of beratement, or whether she finds herself painted into a corner. Her thing is to, like, do whatever she has to do to get it off of her. And I always knew she was like that, you know, so I put some of the earnest on myself, because I knew this was a characteristic of what she had. I just never thought that it would become a situation where I would be a victim of it. And it was something that I was always striving during our relationship to help her work through. But after we had the conversation, I talked to her, you know, and I told her, I was like, I forgive you, you know what I'm saying? I know this was not anything that you wanted to do. You know, say your hands were forced. You felt like your hands were tied. And, you know, so to this day, you know what I'm saying, if I was to talk to her, I would let her know that, you know what I'm saying, I forgive her. I don't hold any hard feelings for it. Because I understand that she was a victim of the system. It's not her, it's the system. Yes, you did do something that most people would be like, oh, that's horrible that you did, and I won't take anything away from that. What you did was horrible. But I understand that the system that was in place and the people that were in control of the system at that time put you in a position where you felt like that's what you needed to do.
Another witness to DeAndre's apparent overuse of discipline was Bianca's cousin, who would also take the stand against DeAndre to tell of how he witnessed DeAndre's discipline, which he believed went too far.
This is somebody I was surprised by him getting up there, because this is somebody who was at my house, you know, said a couple times a week, and who was over there while she was over there. He made reference to me disciplining my daughter while he was over there. He never said anything to her mama about it. He was like, oh, yeah, you know, I felt something was wrong, and I felt like it was wild what was going on, and I felt like he was a little too hard on her and this, that, other thing. But you never said anything to her mother, and you over her mother's house every day. And then what he said happened didn't even happen like that. That's why I even said, I'm like, where is he coming from with all this? But this dude is a known criminal and everything else, too. So, like, I don't know if he had some kind of deal with the police to say whatever to, you know what I'm saying, get a case rubbed off on his end or what, you know. But I'm just like, that just don't make sense. Like, you would say that you felt I did something was not right, or you felt was going outside the lines, and this is your cousin, and you were at her mother's house every day, but you never said anything about her mother about this. And the first time her mother heard about it was when she heard you making a statement to the police.
So he testified that he'd be around the house and he'd see you disciplining and think that the discipline was over the top.
He spoke of this one incident. He was over there. He was like, I was over there one time, and then he had spanked her and this, that, and other. And the truth part about it is, like, I didn't even spank her.
Never says he was at Lane's house when he heard Bianca crying and Lane hitting her.
And I looked at him, and he was like, basically, like, she urined and had a bowel movement on the floor.
What did he
and
say?
He don't play that.
And he was like, yeah, and I heard him, and he went beyond what he was supposed to be. It was past discipline and this, that, and other thing. But like I said, you never said this to her mother. You said this to the police, but you never said it to her mom. And this is like days earlier. This is like a week or so before this situation even went on. Like, you never said anything to her mom about this? Like, why would you not mention it? And you're at her mother's house every day, literally every day.
Also, getting up on the stand against DeAndre would be Bianca's grandmother. And in fact, what happened after her testimony, again, makes news headlines.
He wouldn't answer me. I kept asking him questions. What happened? What's going on? Where's the baby? Where's Bianca? He was crying or hysterical or whatever for a long time, just and I couldn't get nothing out of him.
Your former partner, Bianca's mum, talks about how her mother had really no love for you and didn't really like you very much. Do you know why she was disliking of you so much?
Like, I met her mother first, you know what I'm saying? Like, her mother was always nice to me, always pleasant, never had anything to say. And, like, she even invited me places. I went bowling with them. I had been to their house, everything. And with everything changed when her mother found out that Bonica liked me. And when she found out Bonica liked me, then it was just like, oh, no, hell, you know, like, just stay away, you know, say you can't come over, I'm taking you nowhere, like, it was this thing, and it's like, I guess, with her, like, a thing to keep me away from her, I guess, I don't know, but all while we were growing up, even when we got older, it was like this thing to where she was like, you should stay away from her, y'all don't need to be together, and I was just like, why, like, and her mother would make all kind of comments and stuff and say different things, you know what I'm saying? She's not for you. You're a city guy. She a country girl. You too fast for her. She's slow, and she needs to be with somebody, you know, different. And, like, she just will always, and some of the things that she would say would kind of be, you know what I'm saying, a little bit demeaning towards Bonica, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you too much for her. And I'm just like, what do you mean? Like, what is you saying with all this, you know? It was just always this thing that she did not like the fact that we were talking or we were, you know what I'm saying, together. I don't know. I never really talked to her to understand where it came from. I mean, it's weird, but I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day. I mean, especially when we were grown, it's like, we grown now. Like, this is her decision to make. If she going to talk to me or I'm going to talk to her, you can't really stop that.
It appears that, well, I mean, it doesn't appear. I mean, it's obvious that she was convinced that you'd done this. Even during your trial, once she's given her testimony, she gets off the stand and actually comes towards you. And I think she says something like, tell me where she is, or just tell me where she is. And, you know, she has a go at you.
And when Bianca's grandmother was leaving the courtroom today, she whispered to Lane, where is she? Tell me where she is.
You're right. Yeah.
All of that was an act. She even, when she was on the stand, she even lied about her seeing my daughter and having my daughter. I think she probably went, my daughter went over her grandmother's house probably one time her whole life. I was over there with my daughter like at least three to four times a week. Her mother hardly ever came around. She definitely never had my daughter to the level in which she said. She said that she had her almost every other weekend. That was a total fabrication. She made it to seem like she was this caring, doting grandmother, and that's a total fabrication. Like, she was not this person that she was portraying herself to be. When she got off the stand and she came over to somebody, tell me where she's at, with her fake tears in her eyes, I was just like, what is you doing? Like, you were one of the people telling her that she should have an abortion. She shouldn't have her. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you were one of these people who was like, you don't have nothing for her. If Bonica called, her mom was like, hey, can I borrow a couple of dollars? I don't have nothing for you. I'm the one that, whenever Bonica called me, Dre, I need this. I'm over there. What you need? Here you go. She never bought my daughter anything or cared for my daughter like that. All of that was an act to further her ends. And I think, I believe that really her goal was just, and she even told Bonica this. She said, I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get him locked up. She told her that. Bonica even told my lawyer that she said that. And my lawyer, his answer to that was, we don't want to attack the family because it won't look good. And that's why that stuff did never come out at trial. That, you know what I'm saying? Just basically, her mom full of it. She's full of it.
So what did she say about you on the stand other than she, you know, her saying that, you know, she would look after Bianca on a regular basis? And what did she say about you on the stand? Did she sort of intimate that she believed you were guilty of it?
I mean, she definitely made assertions to the fact of, yes, I believe he did this, and he knows what he did, and all this kind of, just, like I said, just, she was just playing to the situation. There's no truth. Like, anyone who knows me knows that there's no truth to this issue, to those allegations. I don't even know why she was even called to get on the stand. because she really had no bearing on anything. It was just one of those people that the prosecution was like, we could put them over there. Let's put the grieving grandmother on there. And you know what I'm saying? It really like an act. It was a role that was being played to further the ends of the prosecution. It definitely was not genuine in any way, shape, or form.
Also taking to the stand would be one of Bianca's uncles. He was in fact at the home when DeAndre would first arrive after he said he had been carjacked. And he would also appear on the news quite early on after Bianca's disappearance and appeared to be instantly suggesting that DeAndre had something to do with his niece's disappearance.
And Uncle Jerry Weaver says he thought Lane was turning his life around by enrolling in college classes and spending more time with Bianca. But now he's not so sure.
He probably didn't mean for anything to happen, because that's probably why he was so red and so out of it. Maybe he, was disciplining her and probably hit her too hard or something. I don't know.
I wanted to talk about Jerry Weaver, the uncle. It's quite interesting, actually. The news interviewed him, and this was before I think you had even been charged, and he was pretty much throwing you under the bus and saying, I don't know, maybe he went too far with his disciplining and didn't mean to do what he did, and... And this was before they'd even, I mean, people were still looking for her, and he was on the news saying that.
Right. The first thing that he did was he called his mom. And his mother, Benica's mother never liked me. So the first person he called was his mother, which I found to be strange, because he's the same person who said, hey, you know, if this was going on, the first person I'll call is the police. Well, you called your mother before you called the police. So, like, him making those statements to say things, this is stuff that people were putting out there even before trial started. Like, the police, you know, saying prosecutors, they were putting this kind of, because they were fishing for information to see what actually happened and what, like, does he do this? Does he do that? Is he involved with this? Is he involved with that? I don't know who he had possibly talked to beforehand, but he was there. I don't understand where that comes from with him, because he had never witnessed me do anything. Even if you ask him, has he ever witnessed me be abusive or be harmful towards a child, he'll tell you no. So where is that coming from?
You have 1 minute remaining.
And that's all we have time for. But coming up in our next episode, I did come across some testimony from DeAndre's trial that, I'll be honest, disturbed me. But of course, this is DeAndre's opportunity to answer questions about his case. All questions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he has told me that he will answer everything.
You have a job to do, and I wouldn't be having this dialogue with you if I felt you were trying to create a narrative or be unfair. You're asking questions. You're giving me the opportunity to speak on my side of what actually took place. You're giving me a chance to answer the questions that the people may have.
Plus, we'll do a deep dive on the world of cadaver dogs.
There's not a bloody scene anywhere. There's not a crime scene anywhere. They get their star witness who went...
Next time on 1 Minute Remaining. 1 Minute Remaining is a Mashed Pumpkin production, created, hosted, and produced by Jack Lawrence. Audio and sound design by Jack Lawrence and Dom Evans of ESA.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
we want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.